doing a series on reasons to celebrate life. And we've said that in the world, you only celebrate when you finally won. You only celebrate when it's all done and you know that everything's worked out and everybody's for you and you beat everybody who was against you. But the Bible tells us that we are to celebrate life even in the midst of all those things being unresolved. We don't do it ignoring the difficulties of life, but we do it in faith, knowing that God is with us. Last week we said that one of the reasons we celebrate life is because Jesus heals. And who does he heal? Everybody in the mall. That's right. Them all. That was a prophetic word for next time you go to the mall. You're just going to see healing in amazing ways. He heals us all. He heals what's in us and he heals what's between us. And we can celebrate, even though everything in life isn't done, we can celebrate because Jesus heals. We are not people without hope. And then today, the reason we're celebrating, and I don't know how much you've thought about it, it's probably one of the major themes of the Bible that is most passed over by pop Christianity. And it's this: God adopts. That no matter how different you feel, no matter how disqualified you think you've made your life, no matter how disowned and the history of family or friends or people or churches in your life, that we serve a God who brings us into a family. There is a family for us. No matter how different, no matter how disqualified, no matter how disowned, there is a family that God brings us into where healing happens and where we are part of other people's healing. It's the amazing fact of the good news. So often we see in the gospel, you know, you've seen the picture, some blind person, some person who can't walk, and Jesus walks by, heals them, and then walks away. Well, I'm glad they're healed, but who are they with? Well, you know what the Bible tells us is, although those stories are part of the gospel, that the bigger story is God doesn't just heal us and walk away and say, hey, I made you better, good luck with that. No, he doesn't just heal us, he stays with us. And he invites us into his family in such a way, not only are we healed and able to face life, but we are not alone in facing life. He has adopted us into his family. Most of our lives are not fought believing whether God exists or even that he loves us. Most of our lives are spent trying to reconcile how that's true with either the pain, the betrayal, or the lack of good church or family we've had in our lives. How do I put those together in my life? I've got this yearning in my heart. And you know, even if you came in, and this is, say, the first time you've been in church in like forever, and you don't, you wouldn't even say, yeah, I'm not a worshiper, or I don't know about that religion, whatever. But you know what? If you were in worship this morning, and your heart was just a little open, and you weren't so preoccupied and tired from doing all your lawn work yesterday or being at your church, if you were just a little open this morning, there was something that was stirring in your heart. Because God's there. You're made to know him. But you can have that stirring and go, yeah, but how do I reconcile that with my life? Yeah, God's there. They're supposed to. He adopts me. Where is that? I feel all alone. Well, you know what? A lot of life is working that one question out. But you need to know that it begins with understanding that God is so for you that he has not just forgiven you, but he's done everything, and I mean everything possible, to bring you into his family. He is with you. I want you to look at these scriptures that are on the front. The key scripture is this Romans 8. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. It's the spirit of God living in me. A few verses down. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to, what's the word? To what? to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. You'll notice your footnote in your Bible, or adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children in Christ. Look at Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land, isolated and alone. Notice Ephesians 1. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be, what's that word? Adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. How did he do it? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. James 1, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:8, which is such a great picture of how we live a life of adoption for those around us. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. May God add the blessing to his word this morning. I don't know if adoption means much to you. For the average person, it probably doesn't have much context. It's like, okay, that's some kind of thought out there. If you know anything about my family, it's we adopted a son from Ethiopia. And so when I read these passages about adoption, I've had the absolute privilege of getting a little bit in God's seat as a father who said, there's a child out there who doesn't have anybody to love them or take care of them or to watch over them, and I'm going to choose to do that. And nothing's taught me more about who God is and how he is for us. No seminary degree, no Bible study, no book, than raising my son Caleb. Because in him, I get it. I'm like, oh, that's what that is. That's how you look at me. That's what you're trying to do when I feel alone and I don't understand. If you look in your notes, what does it mean that I am adopted through Christ? The first is this. I am not an orphan. I don't go through life thinking I'm alone. I don't go through life thinking I'm the only one who's going to help me. I don't go through life thinking I'm the only one who's in charge of my future. And I'm the only one to look to when I have a need. I did a video for another church who asked me to share a little bit about Caleb's adoption story. And some of you saw it on Facebook last night. I just want to share it with you now. There's only one thing, and I promised my wife I'd do this. There's one thing I say in there, it's not accurate. I say in there, actually, that Caleb grew up most of his life in an orphanage. And we later found out that wasn't as true, that he was in an orphanage. I did this in one shot, so I was trying to put a lot in one moment. But I just want you to hear a little bit about what it means that Christ has adopted you when you turn to him. If you could show the video.
Adopting our son Caleb from Ethiopia has taught me so much, not just about the power of adopting a child into a family, but really what Father God does in each of our lives. Caleb came from Ethiopia when he was 2 years old. He didn't speak any English. His Ethiopian name was Geremu, and he lived in an orphanage for most of his life. When he came to us, one of the first encounters we had with an orphan who needed to learn how to be part of a family was the way he would drink water. The first time we gave him a cup of water, all by himself, he took the cup and put it up to his face so that literally he made a mark on his forehead. And he drank the whole glass in one gulp. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, what was that about? We had got a chance to talk to one of our adoption workers, and they said, well, in the orphanage, when they have lunch, what happens is the glass of water comes by and you get one sip. You go up and you go down and then you give it. You know, Caleb, as an orphan, had learned that he wasn't going to have enough, and he had to take everything in that one moment and drink as much of it as he could. But coming into a family, he discovered there's a whole new way of looking at life and dealing with what we need and what we have. It was amazing to think of all the times that I'm like an orphan to God, and even though God's going to give me what I need and the day I need it, I take the few things I have and I drink it up and take every last ounce because I'm afraid that this is all I'm ever going to get. A second truth about what it means to be adopted by Father God that I learned from adopting Caleb was that the only way we really learn our identity in Christ is through being part of a new family. I mentioned before that Caleb's Ethiopian name was Geremu, and we decided that when he came to America, we wanted to give him a name that worked both in America and Ethiopia, so we called him Caleb. Now, when we gave him the name Caleb, we just didn't show him some book or give him a piece of paper or give him a 10-minute instruction video on his name now being Caleb. The way Geremu learned that he was Caleb was by being in a family that constantly called him Caleb. I can't tell you how many times we said, hey, Caleb, get down from there. Caleb, get that out of your nose. Caleb, stop holding your sister in a headlock. And what happened is Geremu learned that he was Caleb, not because he had some theological principle in his life, but he had a family that would constantly remind him of his identity. And how often do we know that we're sons and daughters of God, and yet we live like we're orphans, we live like we don't have a family? And what do we need but the body of Christ to be around us, the family God creates, to constantly help us know what it is to have our identity as sons and daughters of the living God? I think finally, in adopting Caleb, I discovered that adoption's all about learning a new language. I'd mentioned that when Caleb came to us, he spoke Amharic. He didn't speak any English whatsoever. And it was really interesting to have him come to America and come to a family that spoke a totally different language than him. And in that time, he picked up English, so much so that out of every one of my family members, he talks more than all of them. And his English is amazing. And the way that happened was he was around a family that constantly used that language to the point where he learned it himself. You know, the Bible says that God sets the lonely in families and that we're supposed to live in faith, hope, and love. And yet so many of us speak fear and worry and doubt. When we get into God's family, when we know we're adopted as his sons and daughters, we learn that language and it becomes real to us and it becomes what we share with everybody else.
You can check that out on our Facebook page if you want. Look at these points I made in that video. Number one, because I'm adopted in Christ, I will not lack. L-A-C-K. I will not lack. My worry changes to faith. I don't look at life like I'm the only one providing for me anymore. I've got a Father, and he is more than able to give me tomorrow what I need. And just because I only have so much today, and there's a lot of us in this room that need to hear this, just because I only have so much today doesn't mean tomorrow that's all I'll have. But so many of us in this room, we look at all our problems and all our challenges and say, well, I only have this much today. And you need to remember that there's a God in heaven who has promised to give you daily bread. And when you need it tomorrow, it will be there. Because that's what good fathers do. Number two, because I'm adopted by Christ, I am not worthless. My identity changes to family. I don't see myself as someone that no one loves or doesn't cherish, that I don't fit, that I don't have any meaning, that I don't have any purpose. I learned to understand that I'm different. And just like Geremu learned to be Caleb, because we just constantly said, hey, by the way, you're Caleb. Hey, Caleb, 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 Caleb. I mean, just more times than he wanted to hear it. He started to not have to remember. It just became, it's like, yeah, I am Caleb. And you are a loved son or daughter of God if you're in Christ. And I don't know how many times your church family is going to need to tell you that, but probably a lot more than you're ready to listen to. Because everything changes when you understand that really is Father God's heart towards you. He is for you and with you. And number three, I am not afraid. My language changes to love. You know, you can listen how people talk. What's in, Jesus said what? You know, out of your heart, the mouth speaks. And when you're always afraid, when you're living life by yourself, when you think you're an orphan and you don't think anybody else is fixing your life but you, you know, that's how you talk. And whether it's really tough and biting, whether it's cynical and jaded, whatever it is, you talk like that because that's in your heart. But when you start to realize, like, you know what? Tomorrow, God's got me. And I'm in a family that's going to take care of me. And I'm understood and I'm treasured. You start talking a different language when that happens. And I want to encourage you that these are the things that are beautiful about adoption. Everything about being a Christian, spiritual warfare, prayer, evangelism and missions, obedience and blessing, if you don't understand adoption, you don't understand any of those things. You don't pray because God's somewhere out there and he's kind of deciding whether he wants to do something good for you, and if you pray enough, you'll change his mind. That's not why you pray. You pray because our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give me today my daily bread. Forgive me, mentor me, father me in the places that I miss. Help me to understand the way I should go. You don't understand prayer unless you understand that he's your Father in heaven. You don't understand evangelism. Evangelism is like, boy, God's really not going to like me until I make somebody else officially say yes, you know, to you, and I got to earn that. No, no. Evangelism is about, you know what? God brought me into the family, and there's somebody else that he wants to invite in. And I'm not just giving them some information. I'm inviting them into a family. It's what we talk about at our membership class, that we're a family, that we're a very imperfect family, and we're a very crazy family. We've got lots of really weird uncles and cousins in our family, but we're a family. And this isn't some religious organization. None of it makes sense. Now, it's great to know, and I hope, and some of you, I just wish, you know, and I just ask right now that the Father would reveal to you the joy of being adopted into his family. But what does it mean that I'm adopted through Christ? Not just that I am not an orphan, but number two, that I am called to adopt. You know, it's great that that's all for me, but the truth is, what God has done for me is now something I am called to do for others. I want you to put three words under that. I want you to put the words as a family, as a friend, and as a Christian. I guess that's more than three words, but, you know, topics. Friend, family. Now, I'm not saying how it's supposed to look in your life. For Sarah and I, it was to look like an international adoption, and that came with quite the story. For some, it's in foster care or taking someone into their home. For others, it's people of this church who don't have any family around them, and you're supposed to bring them in and give them a sense of family, a place to be understood and loved here. For some of you, it's the way you take ownership of the spiritual destiny and life of your coworkers and said, if nobody else is going to adopt these people, I will. But your family, you as a friend and you as a Christian, you are called to adopt with the comfort that you have been comforted with. You're supposed to comfort somebody else. As Jesus was sent into the world, so he sends you, and you are supposed to accomplish what he has. You know, there's probably not a greater indicator of maturity or a greater sense of breakthrough in your life than when you stop just focusing on, I'm so thankful I'm adopted, and you start focusing on, Lord, who am I to adopt? That's a big moment in your life. It's a big moment spiritually when God calls you to that and it's time to say yes. It's really something we can do at any stage of life or spiritual development, but when it begins to get in your heart that I'm not just adopted, but I'm supposed to be one who adopts another, your relationship with God and the purpose and the passion of what life is about totally changes. You see, for me, I was not that interested in being the adopter. You know, my wife had the vision from the beginning, but I grew up very poor, and my mentality was an orphan mentality. I mean, I grew up with not a lot in tomorrow's bank account or in the cabinets or in the refrigerator. And so I grew up with a mentality that said, there's not enough for me, let alone me take care of somebody else. And that was my attitude. Even as I went through college, and even when God was faithful to bless me with a great church, been here over 17 years, a great wife, a great church family. I mean, after all those years, 10 years into being here, when Sarah would talk about adoption and not push or anything, she'd just bring it up. And my automatic thought was, yeah, that's great for somebody else. But you know, we're not going to have enough to make that happen. Because that's how I grew up. I don't have enough. And one day, I went to, it's a long story, we went to another country to help out a missionary who did orphan care, and it just started hitting me that this wasn't as complicated as I made it to be. And one day, I said, yes, I said, and I brought it up. I said, let's go to adoption kind of workshop seminar, and it's actually the exact one that you get a chance to go to if you want this upcoming Saturday. It's the exact one. And there, they read that scripture about Romans 8:15 and Ephesians 1. And notice Ephesians 1 verse 4. It says, for he chose us in him when? When did God choose us in him? Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And this is what they said. And you'll hear a little of it on Saturday if you go. You'll hear a lot more than this. But adoption is not God's plan B to make a family. Because that's kind of what we think, right? If we don't think about it very hard. Well, you know, God had this plan A. It was Adam and Eve in the garden. And you know what? All of a sudden God got really surprised that sin came into the world. And now he needed a backup plan. So really quick, he came up with the idea that through Jesus, we could be adopted into his family. Well, that's not what Ephesians 1:4 says. Ephesians 1:4 says that before the creation of the world, God planned to make family through adopting us in Jesus. Adoption's not plan B. It's plan A. It's how God always planned to make family. And when I begin to realize that, and God begin to show me, Sean, I did this for you. I've always planned this for you. I'm always with you. I will always provide. You are not an orphan. I am with you. I will not forsake you. I have brought you into my family. Sean, are you willing to do that for someone else? Are you willing to open up your heart like I opened up mine? And when I begin to understand that, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know where the money was going to come from for an international adoption. I didn't know how three girls would handle having another sibling, let alone a boy in the family. I didn't know how to take care of African hair or ashy knees. I mean, hello. I didn't know about the land of Ethiopia or what an amazing faith journey that would be. All I knew was that God wasn't asking anything of me he hadn't done for me. And when I realized that the King of Kings had adopted me into his family, it didn't seem that big to do it for somebody else. Now again, I don't know how that should look in your life. But how is it any other way that we could be a healing community unless what we're really saying is we're an adopting community? You're out there by yourself. You're hurt. You're not that easy to get along with. You've got some fears that turn into lashing out at other people. You know what? You can come and be part of our family, and we'll love you through it. And that sounds like healing to me. God heals through God adopting. I love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and I would encourage you to read that whole section. He said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Christianity is not about shoving some kind of religious truth down somebody's throat or making people agree with all of your political or moral stands. Christianity is about a God in heaven who loved you so much that he himself paid the price for your sin to give you a new heart and a new spirit, a new mind, and bring you into his family. And there you would discover new ways to live and new thoughts about the future and places and a way to relate and how to live in a country and all those things. It's there. But you know, I haven't stopped adopted since Caleb, although our daughter's constantly like, "When are we going to adopt? Who's next?" We're like, "Whoa, slow down. You know what? That was a lot right there. We're taking care of that and it's going well." But you know what? There are people, you know, that at the Y when I'm playing basketball that God said, "You know what? You need to reach out to that person and care for them." You know, I could tell you stories about people who are in our church today because somehow God worked that spirit of adoption in my heart for them. And I just adopted them into my family before they were part of my family. I just said, "Come on." And I just started living a life that said, "I care about you. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you." And adoption happened. And they're part of our church family. Because it's not just about legal documents and some physical orphan stuff. But it's about people's hearts and lives. God made us to be part of a family. 3 says, what does it mean that I'm adopted through Christ? It means that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, if this Spirit has taken a dead, cold heart, dead, cold attitudes, dead, cold past, and is resurrected into a new life, that I've not been given a spirit of fear. I've got this Spirit in me that has adopted me and taught me that I am a son or a daughter of God, and I've got that in me working towards others. It's in you. Now the Spirit's always does different things in us, and so sometimes it's like spirit of adoption or spirit of peace or these things, it's all about the Holy Spirit. But I just want you to recognize something. And it's this. Number one, the Father in heaven loves you, but until you say yes to Christ, you're not adopted into the family. Contrary to some kind of teaching, not everybody's God's children. I knew Caleb, and I loved Caleb before he was my son. And there was a distance between us. And there was a lack of the reality of that love working that we were together. And what had to happen was there was literally a courtroom that had to say, debts are paid, things are straight, he's yours. And only when that happened did Caleb become part of our family and be a son in our house forever. Look, it's nice to have nice thoughts towards God and to be like, yeah, I'm pretty open to Christianity. But you're not his child until you accept what Christ did on the cross for your life. And you say, in the courtroom of heaven, I accept the work of Jesus to make me his own. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today, that you're only a son and a daughter through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you've got to make that decision. The second, maybe you're living here, and you know, you are son, daughter, but you live like you're an orphan all the time. You're worried about your college, you're worried about your kids' college, you're worried about your bills, you're worried about, and you just live like nobody's doing anything for you but you. And your favorite scripture is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is absolutely true. But guess what? The whole concept behind that is, Paul's got a family who's doing it all for him. He's got heavenly hosts. He's got a father in heaven. He's got brothers and sisters in Christ. The whole scripture is about family members who gave him something. And so what I do, and I want to encourage you, you have the work of the Holy Spirit in you that this morning is saying, do not be afraid. And you've got to figure out whether you're going to drown that out with your worry or you're going to bend that part of your life and say, you know what, God, I'm just going to trust you. Now I'm going to trust you to guide me, but I'm going to trust you. And then some of you here, guys, we've got to get past, I'm never ready to help somebody else know Christ. That's such a lie from hell. You know what? What parent, when they had their first kid, thought, oh yeah, I'm ready for this. Come on. You know what? If you would just open up your heart and be like me with cows, like, I don't know how to do any of this. And God said, you know what? If you're willing, I'll give you the power to do it. You don't have to write anything down. Just listen. But number four, you know what it means to be adopted? That we can be healing communities with Christ in the center. We can be a place where it says, you know what? Are you doing okay? You can come be with me. You know, when I come into church, I celebrate being adopted, but I don't really focus. I mean, that's only part of what I do here. I'm so excited that somebody else is coming into the family. We're not going to read it today, but I rewrote out that renewal commitment we made last week as a church body for Anniversary Sunday. I said, you know what? God, my commitment is be my cornerstone, and may my life be part of welcoming other people to healing. Other people, there's room in my life because you're the center for others to come in. We're going to do communion this morning. We didn't get a chance to do it last week. It was Anniversary Sunday. And I'm going to ask you, if you kind of set your stuff and get us, I'm just going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask, as the ushers are ready, they can distribute communion this morning. And before we take communion this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's what you need to do first. Say, Lord, there's this great love, and honestly, most of my life, I've heard the exact opposite, and I've experienced the exact opposite with most churches and most people who call themselves Christian. I'm sorry you've had that experience. Unfortunately, most of us have. Don't let it overshadow the real good news of Jesus Christ, that He heals and He adopts and He wants you, I mean wants you, to be part of His family. But you're going to have to take a step of faith this morning, and you're going to have to acknowledge your sin in your self-centered way and say, Lord, I admit it. I live life like an orphan that gets something and goes like this with it all the time until I can't get any more out of it. And because of that, I usually hurt a lot of other people in my life. I just admit it. And Lord, would you show me what it is? Would you forgive me and create something new in me that I could take a little bit and then instead of worrying about me, give to somebody else? Ushers, if you'd come down. Before you distribute communion, I'm going to ask this morning, if you just bow your head for a moment, if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and come into His family, and then be on a process just like Caleb was. I'm in a family and I don't really know what it means. I'm in a family and I'm learning who I am. But if you're here today and you need to make that decision before we take communion, Father, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for what Christ did. Bring me into your family today. I'm just going to ask you to raise a hand where you are. Is anybody here today who needs to make that decision? Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Just do it in your heart. Father, I thank you this morning for these two young men who made this decision. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray together. We just lead in something that our hearts already do. But Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And Lord, I pray now that as I just confess my sinful heart and my selfish ways, that Lord, you just forgive me. And that Lord, thank you for bringing me into your family. And Lord, teach me to let other family of God be part of my life. Not because I have to, not because it's an obligation, but just help me to learn through family what it is to have a new life. Lord, thank you for these decisions today. Lord, we just thank you for making us part of your family this morning. It's in Christ that I thank him and I have it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At the end of the service, I just appreciate those two guys come up and meet me at the end. I just want to take a moment just to greet you and just to find out your name. I don't even know your name this morning. Ushers, would you distribute communion? As you do, I'm going to, how time-wise, we're good. We're going to have to finish up here. I'm going to ask as communion comes by, if there's any part of your life that's living in fear, as we take communion this morning, as you remember the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, I'm going to ask this morning that as you take it, you would allow the truth of Jesus' love for you to break the power of those things in your life. And as you do that, begin to ask the Lord if there are places and people that it's time to have that spirit, let that spirit of adoption work through you. Whether you want to internationally adopt or just hear more about just the heart that would be behind even foster care, things like that, I want to encourage you to come Saturday at 10 and let God speak to your heart.